Sam, and the chicken, brother Thomas Salmon from Shiloh Primitive Baptist Church is going to lead us in prayer.
And all the blessings we have in prayer, calling your Father, thank you that you were the Father, and the two mercies. Thank you for the prayer of so many of this presence for us. It was scheduled to be in our area. Thank you, Lord, for sparing those who were in the store and for those who have lost so much and family members and their life savings and other property. I pray that you would bless them and recover quickly. Physically, and those loved ones, even those that are still in the family, have to keep them safe. That your will, Lord, is for this form, not in the ocean of work, not bringing quarantine and money. We'd be grateful for that. If we do all things that we ask, and we do those things, we're in our able ways to understand how things happen. If we do all things to take care of us, I pray your blessings, Father. Permission to deny to say, take care of the family's business and those in the staff and other elected officials, states, positions that you would be with them as well. Be with those that represent the needs of our county. Help us, Lord, to support the county and be active in building things we need to do. So we're paying our taxes and just praying for those that need help. Be with our military men and women and their first responders. All of our government makeup, the protection we have around this nation and around the world. And I ask you to be with those who are putting their lives in harm's way as they take care of utilities and other issues and keep us going in a good country. Forgive us of our sins, as I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Liberties of the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you, Brother Tommy, for leading us in prayer. We really appreciate all our local churches and pastors coming to pray with us. Come again. I'd like to welcome everyone here this evening. Glad you could be with us. The next meeting is Tuesday, September the 17th at 9 a.m. We will move on to item number 3, approval of the agenda. We already have a couple of changes. We're going to add 17A, which is Tim Bolton, Lodging Solutions to discuss staging of utility services at the Perry Foley Airport. And we're going to move item number 8 on the consent items to the regular agenda for 18A, and that's the board to consider approval of execution of deeds from achievement deed sale as agenda bond clerk. Are there any other changes or additions? If not, is there a motion to approve the amended agenda?
Motion. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say sign. Motion carries. Bids and public hearings, number 4. The board to hold the first of 2 public hearings set for this day at 6 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible to discuss and receive public input regarding the possible grant submission to the 2020-2021 funding cycle of the Florida Recreation Development Assistance Program, known as FRDAP, FRDAP, requesting funding assistance in the amount of $50,000 for the rehabilitation of South Side Park. Hi.
So staff would like the board's approval to go ahead and submit the application for FRDAP for South Side Park for $50,000 And I think we discussed it in a workshop, that we would be trying to redo the basketball courts, put rubber mulching around the playgrounds, fix the swing sets or replace them in the one playground section, put some lighting up, and to repave, or not repave, or restripe the parking lot, and to fix the sidewalk leading from the parking lot to the basketball courts. They're in very bad disrepair.
You could do all of that for $50,000?
Well, we are hoping to do it.
Wow, good. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, this is a public hearing, the first of two. Is there anyone here that would like to come and address the board concerning this issue? Okay, if not, we're not going to vote on this tonight. Are there any comments from the board? If not, we're going to move on to the consent items, which are 15 through 16, with the exception of 8, that has been moved to 18A. Is there a motion to approve?
I move.
And second.
We got a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Murphy. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Public request number 17. William R. Rusty Gorman to appear to request release from contract to lease 45 plus acres of land at the Perry Foley Airport. I don't see Rusty. Ms. Pemberton, you know anything about this?
Yes, ma'am. So, back in June, Mr. Dorman sent a letter that requested he be released from his contract for the 45 acres at the airport that he is used to produce hay.
Where can you show him which parcel?
He currently has two contracts to the board for the production of hay.
Parcel, I believe he's talking about. Let me get this, get the bearings for this industrial park drive up here. Carlton Cemetery comes across the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this front part, which is the part is just off the FDA building under contract. These two pieces, which are separated by tax away. This piece he's talking about, I believe he wants out of, is never produced hay. I think you heard it one time, there nothing else ever happened with it. This is actually the producing part of the hay.
That's the first release he had up here on the part. The last one was on the December development, and we're gaining so many years to get it to go and stuff that he was producing that crop.
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
If I understand correctly.
So he wants to give up the one. The original one.
The one on
the right plant and perennial peanuts, I mean. That was the idea.
No, the one's not producing is the one he wants to give up.
By Carlson.
Right. The one on the Carlson Cemetery side.
He indicated to me that, you know, not only have you been unsuccessful, I would say, in growing hay, but he just did not have the demand any longer. So he requested, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this contract really doesn't have an out clause in it. So we really need board approval to release him from the contract, if that's the will of the board.
Are there any other concerns?
Just a question that I had in reading the second page of the agreement. Has he paid? He paid $25 per acre for those first 3 years, right?
Correct.
Okay. For this year?
No, he has not.
We'll see.
He paid any hay this year?
On the page we're talking about releasing.
Yeah.
No, it's never produced.
All right. Well, the years 2018, 2019, 2000 was leased at $87 per acre. Okay. So, does he pay in advance? Has he paid for 2019,
2019?
But if he pays it September 30th, that's for the 2019 year, right?
Okay.
and he hasn't paid.
That's what I understand.
I would have to check.
I checked with Danielle, and she said he hasn't paid this year.
This was the track that the board allowed him to lease, and he was going to try to get it where he could put the hay on it, and then I think they come in and do about summer fields and talk about summer fields. I think that's part of it.
That's not part of this contract, mm-hmm. and he originally requested a release for the development of solar fields, but that is not part of this contract. I think he was a little confused about that part. That's part of the other contract that he has.
Part of India.
Yes, ma'am. So he's only requesting a release for this particular portion.
Well, y'all can do... 2019, he has the benefit of having the property for almost the entire year. Okay? And then it goes to 2020, 21, 22, and 23. I don't think it would be fair to make him pay 20, 21, 22, and 23. Do y'all?
No, no, I don't want to do that.
I wouldn't either.
Now, he hasn't cut any hay. In 2019, I don't really think y'all have to pay for that.
That's up to y'all. That's up to y'all.
I'm with you on that. I don't think you need to pay.
I don't think you need
to,
because he's...
ain't cutting no hay.
He ain't cutting hay. And he's giving it back. We can maybe advertise and lease it to somebody else.
Is he paying right now? Is he ready to cut?
It never was planted.
It was
here at one time,
and
that was it. That's all they ever happened to it.
The only question that you would have, and I don't disagree with what y'all are saying, is if you were in business, if this was a business, okay, and you were the and you were leasing it to him, you wouldn't have the benefit of using your property that you had for the whole year 2019, but y'all have the option as being good stewards of the county and trying to keep people in business and so forth to let him out as a practical matter, if you follow what I'm saying.
I'm okay with just letting him out of it and don't charge him anything. That's fine. When this is released, which it will be, what are we gonna do with it? What can we do?
Well, we can advertise again. If you want to continue to allow people to produce hay on that parcel, you can. Or do you know of any other potential uses for that property?
Other solar field, hay field.
I think we're a little restricted. So I would suggest that we re-advertise and open it back up to the public to bid on this particular parcel to produce it.
About $87 an acre times 45.
Yes, ma'am. So it's
$39.15.
Not $4,000, I was going to say.
Okay, but so that's $4,000 a year.
Which is too much to pay for hay land, in my opinion. But anyway, I didn't bid that.
And if solar were to go there, what would be the steps and how would that work?
Briefly, if you can. I believe that's too small of a parcel right now to explore. But I would say we could put the same conditions in the new lease. That if we were able to secure that, you know, someone to provide that service, that we could end the contract. I don't think we've been successful so far in marketing the airport parcels because they're so small. I think, from what I understand about solar business right now, it's larger tracts that are being utilized right now, and down the line there may be an opportunity for us with these smaller parcels, but I don't believe there's an opportunity right now for that.
Well, we could potentially have that clause that if something came along, they'd have to make it fair for whoever's there. If they had a crop, you know, give them time to make the money or whatever, work something out.
I believe one of you got bids on this before you had more than one bidder.
I believe he did. Yes. So this may open up an opportunity for someone else.
Okay, all right, thank you. Okay. Is there a motion to release from this contract?
I'll make the motion releasing.
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next is 17A that we added. And it's Tim Bolton, Lodging Solutions, to discuss staging of utility services at the Terry Foley Airport Center.
Ward, can you preface Mr. Bolton with, you know, the history of what we accommodated for staging at the airport and what has happened during the storm?
Well, October last year, as most of you know, we staged the airport for utility vehicles, boat trucks, that kind of thing, sleeping quarters, everything for them. This year, when the storm came up again, Hurricane Dorian came up again, we were called upon again to stage some equipment that was going to just be here for a short period of time that was going to deploy to South Florida. And that's where Mr. Bolton comes in, his company. Basically, it's a logistics company for Florida Power and Light, for the community, TECO, I don't know how many others. But anyway, he's going to talk to us about possibly doing some long-term plans as far as using the airport. We have a closed runway on the back, runway 624, which is the Carlton Cemetery side. 100 foot wide, it's about 4,000 foot long, it's paved. 1942 paved, but it's still paved. And he's going to talk to us about possibly doing some long-term leasing on that. So I'll let Mr. Bolton explain to you what he has in mind.
Thank you, folks. Thank you for having me here. And we appreciate your cooperation during this emergency. So my name is Tim Bolton. My company's name is Lodging Solutions. I'm from Houston, Texas, and I've been working with the electric utility since 2014 when all the major storms started to hit Florida, and then 15, 16, all the storms along, 2004. When we had Charlie, Francis, Gene, and Ivan. So what we provide for the electric utilities is life support. So when you've seen these line trucks and the linemen come from all over North America, they refer to that as mutual assistance because none of the utilities have enough within their units to be able to restore the power after a major weather event. So one of the things they need is storm logistics. Housing that we build in trailers, shower trailers, laundry, and we put up a tent and we feed them. And then they go out and do the 14 hours worth of work to do the restoration. So what they do is they mobilize us to come close to the storm. So, excuse me, Florida Power and Light on this last storm for Dorian tasked us with two sites. And of course, as Dorian began to become much more severe, they began to slow us down because they didn't want us to get too close with all the danger of coming to a site close to the coast. So we reached out because part of my team was here. I actually physically was on your property last year after Hurricane Michael. I was in support of the Duke Power Company at that point, and they had a logistics site out there. And we asked if it would be possible, one of our contacts did. And permission was given verbally, and then we slowed everybody down so they didn't get too far into Florida because they wanted the flexibility to redeploy us. So what we did is we amassed about 100 trucks and trailers. We left all the power under them, and we fueled locally. We hired local port-a-can and trash companies to help us, and we hung out there until we got redeployment orders, which came just a few hours ago. And it looks like Florida Power and Light's not going to need our services, and they told us to go home. In the process, Duke said, we need you, everything that you have there, please come up towards Wilmington and a few of the towns up there and get ready to support our teams, because we have a lot of linemen up there. So first of all, I want to say thank you for hosting us, and that we want to be grateful and acknowledge that you guys had went out of your way to say yes when we really needed some help. So thank you very much. The other thing is, We will make sure that we leave no debris, that everything will be clean when we leave here. We want you to have everything back the way you found it. The other thing that we were thinking about is, since we've been here twice now in the last 12 months, that this is a strategic site, not only for Duke Energy, but it's also for Florida Power and Light, for my type of services, when they call us to stop before they get us too far in to redeploy us. And if something in the future might be available for us to discuss, working in a range of during hurricane season, that we could work out something if it was convenient for you all, and we could meet some kind of requirement for you all to participate and be involved in using that retired runway to hold equipment. So that's the basic outline that I had in mind.
Any questions from the board? So, just to recap what you said, you would provide temporary housing in the form of trailers?
Yes, ma'am. These are 53-foot trailers that you normally would do. Drive which you'd see over the road trailers. We've taken those and we've upfitted them with bunk beds, climate control, so that they could put the crews in. This is kind of a standard way to house the linemen for a short surge duration.
And you provide food?
Yes.
And where do you get the food from?
Food typically comes with our caterer. In this case, so many of the caterers were tied up with the Florida market. They come with us, and our caterer follows us from Houston. It's part of our team.
All right. You know, we have a lot of motels and hotels and restaurants here. So what would be, just help me understand, what would be the advantage of what you're proposing rather than using our hotels and motels and restaurants?
Sure. So to give you an idea of the capacity that we would bring anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 beds. When they line out a utility crew to keep those guys together and task them, they bring them into a facility like yourself here or fairgrounds, and they build out a staging area, and they park their line trucks, their material yards, and all the equipment they need to restore power in their service area. And in order to keep those guys in one spot to give them their logistics orders, that's how they found it to be efficient.
Okay, thank you. Well, since we have something that I don't think our attorney, you haven't had a chance to review this, have you?
I looked at it prior to the meeting today.
You need more time?
Well, I got some things to say real quick.
Yeah.
You what?
I got some things to say real quick about it, Ms. Deagle. Number one, under Florida law, our county can't indemnify y'all. You know, we're sovereign immunity under 768-28, and so there would have to be I wrote it out. Let's see if I can. The parties acknowledge that the licensor cannot indemnify the licensee under Florida law, and the licensor specifically does not waive sovereign immunity pursuant to Chapter 768-28 Florida statutes. Now, 768-28 does provide for sort of a pseudo waiver, but it only waives up to a point. So that needs to be in the agreement, which is a, for lack of a better term, this is a license, but it's a hold harmless together, you know, sir. And then secondly, on the second page, applicable law, this license shall be governed and construed in accordance with the laws of Texas. No, sir. It will be governed by the laws of the state of Florida if my client's going to sign it and do what I ask them to do. So it would be the state of Florida. And then thirdly, and you'll find this in every contract that the state has, they always make us sign that venue would be in Leon County of any litigation. But in this case, the venue of any litigation would be solely in the state court of the state of Florida, not federal court, state court. And this was one for a, I think it was like a 14-day. Am I understanding that you're not going to need it?
We're ready to depart, and we wanted to give you all something that, out of good faith, to give you. We threw it together real quick towards the end of last week, right before the holiday.
Yes, sir.
To consider for you all to look at, make any changes, and I would have accommodated, and I will accommodate any appropriate, which you need.
Right.
I just had nothing to go with.
Well, am I understanding correctly that we don't need this now?
You don't need it now.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Well, I don't really have any objections other than what I mentioned. You know, as a practical matter, in representing my client, which would be the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County. Y'all follow what I said?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Now, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Are you asking us to execute this agreement so that you won't have to do it over and over when you come back to stage at our airport? Or is this, this would have to be done over each time you come? You know, make it clear.
Yes, you did. So initially, the desire was to have something in place that would, you all would be comfortable, that we would give you whatever you needed, the proof of insurance, something, a whole harmless agreement. So if we perfected something, we would hope to put something in place that would all could go into the future. So, but for right now, we're going to depart tonight, and then we'll clean up behind ourselves because they want us in North Carolina starting tomorrow to start prepping for their mine careers. So what we were hoping is to start the conversation for the next time around, or even when we're done in North Carolina, could we come back because the hurricane season isn't over, and it looks like there's quite a bit of activity in the Atlantic and the Gulf, and it could very easily be that there's a repeat performance.
We hope not. We hope you don't have to come back.
I understand. Me too. But to be strategically close to be able to support Duke or FPNL in this area, if that was an accommodation could be made at, under your terms, this was only just an attempt to give you something, and then we would work with you in any way that you would deem necessary.
Works for me.
When I went out there this morning, I saw the trucks out there, and I rode in there. It looked, he had a local vendor furnishing fuel for 50 semis. He had a local vendor out there filling up all those semis this morning. So he's using local people, yeah. And to answer your question about the motel, I know you're thinking that they're giving place. He uses this equipment to spot, and like he said, can go up there and furnish a motel, a portable motel, you might as well say, for those people in North Carolina, South Carolina. He's not actually taking away from the local people here, you know. When that group was here last year, they furnished all the camp, you know, all the rolling motels and food for the people while they were staged out there with all the line trucks. And there's really no way they could have, they were feeding people around the clock, different shifts. There's no way the motels or the rest of Champaira could have kept up with it anyway, you know, because all those trucks were coming and going 24-hour days.
I just, you know, my concern is always, I don't want to take away anything from our local businesses.
Well, they're not taking away from
the
local.
If that's what it looks like. That's fine. You understand that, don't you?
Absolutely, and that's why we bought, I think we spent close to $10,000 in fuel in the last 4 days keeping the trucks. We used a local vendor here to top off all these trucks, so they're ready just to roll. We had a local sanitation company to provide on the site there sanitation, and some of our staff rented quite a few of the hotel rooms for some of the administrative staff. The truck drivers have a berth, because these are over the road truck drivers, so they sleep in their trucks. That's their standard procedure.
Any more questions?
I have a comment. I served 24 years on the board of Shaw County Electric. This is an electric utility. And in storm events
like this. You got to call in mutual assistance. And a small co-op, 18,000 meters, if you're going to call in 40 people to help your crews, then you've got to have motels. And the motels are filling up 3 or 4 days ahead of the hurricane event. So people are traveling to get out of the way. And so we had to go as far away from Madison, Florida, where the headquarters is, as Tallahassee, to find enough motels, rooms, to house these people. And that was 30 or 40 people you're trying to put up. You're talking about over 1,000.
Or it's 2,000.
Yes, sir. Big number. So we don't have enough motel space to accommodate those. And I want to assist your efforts any way I can. Because I've been through some hurricanes and been without water and electricity for 4 or 5 days. I'd like to see the line was coming.
Are you ready to make a motion then?
I'll make a motion that we ask Mr. Moulton to clean up the language, to meet with the bishop's specifications in this agreement, and bring it back to us to approve.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Now we say
thank you very much, sir.
Let's get a hold on.
Can I give you my card? Too?
Sure.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
You're straight.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Constitutional officers, other governmental units, number 18. The clerk to discuss the board's wishes with regard to advertising for sale of achievement fee parcels. Okay, the first thing that I want to discuss is, you know, we got approximately 13 parcels that have come up with. And I've been contacted last Thursday or Friday by a person that's interested in one of the parcels that they said was previously. So my question to the board is, do you want to re-advertise, or what do you want to do about the certain parcels? And the second thing is the deed that was on the agenda being executed. I have one. Sylvia did. She wishes to be brought her in. $500 on that parcel. The property appraisal records showed that there was a house on the property, and it wasn't there at the time. The lady next door told me the city didn't do anything. So she thought the house was on there, so she wants to be brought her in. And I thought the comment that he's there.
Was there just one bid on that property?
Yes, that's what I'm using.
So we'd have to rebid it?
Yeah, it would be in the subsequent process. What is your recommendation? Well, you've got 13 parcels of land that can be put back on the tax roll if you can sell. The first time we sold 3 parcels, the next time we sold 4, we had 5, less this one's 4 that you actually sold. That you signed the deed for
tonight.
So, you know,
it's up to
the board.
I'm
not
going to
re-advertise
unless
it would be. That's just me,
you know.
I'm here from the rest of the board.
I guess we'll see. I can re-advertise. Let's get them on the tax roll.
Comrade, do they need to allow that person to withdraw from Comrade Ed? Nobody's paid for it yet. What the procedure is that when that deed is executed by the board, I'll call each one of them and tell them how much money to send for the bid and how much to send for the recording. And as a courtesy to each one of them, I'll take it to the recording, have it recorded, and send it back to the person. So that's the one, number 8, that's you're talking about, let's say, 18. Okay.
The other thing is, I hope y'all understand what Ms. Anime was talking about was that the one person that bid that thought they were getting a house and they didn't get a house. And Anime and I talked about it, and of course we thought that y'all, it's up to y'all, but that y'all would allow her to withdraw her bid. That's what Anime was saying. That's up to y'all.
Mark Bowell, PGA Horse Spotter Road.
When I was working on the story, which hasn't gotten in the paper yet, about these bids, I'm assuming it's that particular parcel. If you go to Google Maps and look at it from above, the house is gone. If you look at it from street view, it's an older version, and the house is still there. I had actually looked at the dates on when those were. It was about 4 years difference between those two. So it's not just the property appraiser. On street view, the house is still there.
Well, I was familiar with that parcel because the lady that called me, about 3 or 4 years ago and asked me what procedure they had to go through because it's in an estate. And the house was in disrepair, and she didn't want to go in and fix the house up with siblings having an interest in it and paying taxes on it. So that's when she chose not to pay any more taxes or let it go to tax estate. So,
on item 18, do we need to have a motion and a vote to re-advertise?
Yes.
So let's go back and take care of that one.
And then you need a motion also to let the lady withdraw her bid.
Two different motions?
I think it would clear the record up if anybody's looking at what y'all were doing.
Yeah, let's do a motion for 18.
I'll do it.
Okay.
All right,
we have a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. So that'll be re-advertised. Now, for 18A, we need a motion to for this lady to back out.
Motion.
That's not a good motion, but that's what it is.
To allow her to withdraw her bid.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 19, Martin Hopkins, Chief Deputy, Taylor County Sheriff's Office, to appear to discuss the donation of two portable buildings to be placed behind Emergency Management Operations Center, ESC.
Good evening.
Hi.
How's everything going?
Good.
Good. So Sheriff Paget has had the good fortune of having two buildings donated to the Sheriff's Department by the school board from the closing of the old Perry Primary School. As you know, office space is quite limited, and it doesn't look like any time in the near future we're going to be able to build a public safety building or anything like that, and we have a lot of needed office space. We need office spaces for our investigators. We need an interview room that has a video interview room. Right now we have to go borrow the city's. We don't have our own. So these two buildings will allow us to do that and also to put in a training room for the sheriff. Now, he's already been in contact with PK Hunt about moving them. It'll be moved to specification. We talked to the city about the utilities. Apparently the county owns the lift station there already, so the hookup for the sewer is no big deal. And so we're just going to go ahead and get those buildings in place. We'll make them aesthetically pleasing and make them nice office buildings right there on the grounds.
Good. I've got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm glad that y'all have those donated to you. Now, do you have the funds to equip these buildings? Are you going to look for grants or?
Probably a little bit of both. We have a little bit of funds, and then we have some folks, and we'll volunteer our time to work on them and do things ourselves too. Plus, we have inmate labor that will help us with the carpentry and things like that.
Okay.
And we got funding to take PK?
Yes, sir. We can take care of that.
Take care of that.
That's good fortune then.
Yes, ma'am.
Us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
County
Staff
Adams. Mark. Okay. I just wanted to, did the board need to do a motion for executing the other bids that they didn't kind of call?
He's talking about executing the deeds.
Yeah. They need to go back and do that. Those four of them have to be removed from the city for the chairman to execute those things.
Motion to authorize the chair to execute the deeds.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Now we can go to County Staff Items Number 20. the board to consider approval of and ratify the grant application documents to the Gulf Consortium requesting funding to complete a feasibility study to determine if Hagen's Cove is a viable location for a public recreational boating facility as agendas by Melody Cox, grants director. I got a lot to say about that, but go ahead.
Well, we're making progress. We've discussed these feasibility studies for some time, and the application is complete. Because of the timing of the next Gulf Consortium meeting, which is in the end of September, we have submitted them. If the board chooses not to follow through, we can just withdraw the applications. So the first one, item number 20, is the feasibility study for Hagen's Cove, and we're requesting funding in the amount of $35,000. This is the first grant application we've completed. I'm not exactly sure how much it will take, but that was the guidance from the Gulf Consortium.
Okay. I think that Kenneth spent a lot of time, and he did a great job identifying this Hagen's Cove, and his vision, I think, is a great vision. My concern is we already have a lot of traffic congestion in Keaton Beach. And I'll even talk about the next property, Hutchison's property, the same thing. And we're talking about potentially putting in a huge boat ramp at Hagen's Cove, maybe. And we haven't even figured out our traffic issues that we have already. We've talked about it. So to me, it just seems like we're putting the cart before the horse, put in more to invite more traffic, but we can't even handle what we have going on now. So I just don't know that I'm in favor of this until we can have a better plan of how we're going to deal with it. Something that's steam hatching. You know, we're already talking, and it's one thing that I've asked to be on the next workshop agenda, to start studying long-term solutions for steam hatching for their traffic and for drainage. So I'm just wondering, would we be better off to try to see if we could use some of that money to fix Steve Hatch's problems, fix our problems at Keaton Beach, rather than doing something that's going to create more of a problem? Plus, we can't even maintain the properties that we have now. And you're looking at Hutchison's property. How are we going to maintain that? So I'm sort of backed up, you know, on these boat ramps, because I just think we're going about it all wrong. Just my opinion. That's all. Next.
I'm with you on that. I've been against that business, trying to start one from scratch the whole time, because it's almost impossible to start from scratch and build a canal and build a boat ramp. There's several boat ramps if we get to that point, but I'm like you, we need to spend that money in the direction of doing something instead of trying to do something.
Yeah, and you've got that one in spring water, which might still be a good option, because that wouldn't create
no more traffic to keep
you know, harm on double harm, so to speak.
That's right. It would help a little bit, take a little bit of pressure off Keaton Beach, and that's my way I feel about it.
Commissioner Murphy?
I believe that the purpose of the feasibility study would give us an answer.
Well, why spend $35,000 then?
Well, are we going to come to that decision ourselves and understanding ourselves? I don't have all the math involved. A feasibility study would provide the math. So no matter what project we're looking at anywhere in the county, we need to know how it's going to impact us, and how the best way to do it is through the feasibility study. You know, if it's giving us a relief of existing vehicular traffic congestion, so it doesn't matter which project, we need feasibility studies to have better understanding. Both of these projects, in my view, have potential. But
have what?
Have potential. Both of them have potential. But in my view, I think we have to issue both feasibility studies. If we do nothing,
That's not going to be a good image. It's not going to be accountability in the process. In my opinion, from what I'm getting from my constituents, is to press both projects and to see where the feasibility study positions us. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, we spent money on feasibility studies before.
Well, there's no matching funds through the county.
Say again?
There's no matching funds through the county required.
I'm just not for spending that money on feasibility studies myself, but we know what we can take that money and do with it. Yes, sir.
Same which way, not the one we decided to stay up there. A number of years ago, the county commission put together a committee to provide suggestions. I was on that committee. We talked to a lot of people locally. We talked to people out of that area. I'm also on committee since Team Hatchie that have done the same thing. Every time that we talk to the Negro Seagrass Preserve people, the Manning crew, we were told that nobody was going to bridge a new channel through that seagrass preserve. Now, this has been a number of years, but the manager comes to Steen Hatchie at least once a year and has a form. It's called a scholar form. She also shows up at other times to talk to specific groups. As far as her mind is made up, that seagrass preserve is to preserve the habitat for the nursery along this whole part of the coast so that we can have our fishing, we can have our scallop tours. If you're considering anything that requires a new dredge channel, I suggest that you minimize your funds by looking at that part of it first before you spend any money on feasibility studies or anything else on things that require a dredge channel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
We got channels right now needing that can be. You can get a repair permit easy. We just need to try to stick with taking care of what we've already got. Just like a fella told me the other day, he said, if y'all could acquire Spring Warrior, it wouldn't take but a little bit of work to clean out the oyster bar right there, and people can come and go good there, and they already got a boat there.
So,
yeah.
I concur with you, Commissioner Page.
My fishing days are about over. My wife loves to fish. We are fortunate enough that we've got a place at Cedar Island on a nice canal, our own dock and boat lift and all that. We'll still have to put our boat in somewhere, you know, to take it out, get it serviced, so forth. I thought the point of the feasibility study, speaking now about Higgins Cove Amendment, was to determine, part of the feasibility study would be to determine if dredging in those seagrasses, Stan, would be something we could do.
That's part of it. Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know for sure whether they're going to issue the permit or not. And I know $35,000 of the BP oil-filled money is a lot of money to spend to get an answer to a question. But if that is a no, then you can drop that one off the list as far as I'm concerned.
If that is a no, I would go as far as to say you could probably drop a lot of the properties off the list.
Well, I'm not excited about the Hudson's property because a viable option for a public recreational, I mean, somewhere I read, maybe it was in the document, I knew this, it has something to do with the howling and all kinds of other stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's not part of what I was looking for.
Yes,
sir. I really think if Higgins Cove could be made into one boat ramp, this would relieve some of the congestion at the Steen Hatchie boat ramp. It's got adequate parking.
course, they come from the north, you got to go by Keaton Beach Boat Ramp to get on there foot. But other than that, I'm not in Springwater here, I'm very interested in that. But Hudson property, Marin in the back. That cooled me off on that.
Well, I'm going to get you next, but while it's fresh on the burn, so to say, I'm just not sure that I'm in favor of any more expansion of big boat ramps except the small ones like Spring Warrior that we already have there. It may relieve some of the, you may have more parking spaces for boats and trailers if we did have one at Pagan's Cove, but you're going to have that many more people coming in, and when they go down the beach road and turn right there to go down towards Steam Hatchie, we already have situations there where a lot of residents are concerned that if they needed a fire truck or an ambulance or something, you couldn't get through there. I've seen it really clogged up there and congested. I would much rather see us take some of this money and put it to good use and figure out our road system through there to make it better, to bypass what we already have, and to help out and see at you with their drainage problems. I mean, look right now, we could spend, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of million dollars down there to fix that, but they need help down there.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of going ahead and putting in another boat ramp that's going to clog up or congest up the road, it just doesn't make sense to me.
They still got water down there. There's still plenty of water down there.
There's still plenty of water. And there's a lot of residents that I talk to, they will find where we are. Scallops are seem to be getting more scarce, they think. I don't know, I didn't go scalloping, but Commissioner Dills.
I've been hearing about this, where you go to Gulfman's Consortium, and I went to a couple of meetings, and I don't know how we can spend the money. Get a feasibility study, and if you go to one of those meetings, they talk about feasibility study all the time. As far as Dr. Hudson's property, I don't know about Dr. Hudson's property, I don't know about Hagen Toad. So I'm a fresh kid on the block, but now, somewhere down the line, I reckon we need to make a decision. What can we do with the money? I hear we can go down and spend money, in the back of people's houses, cleaning dredges, canals out and all this kind of stuff. What do we need to do? What do the county need? Do the county need anything?
Well, okay, so here's where we are. Just to recap.
Yeah.
The previous discussion, the previous instruction was to move forward with feasibility studies mm-hmm. for the first and second properties on the ranking sheet. We reached out to FWC and got their support, which surprised me a little bit, that they would actually partner with us for a sublease agreement for Hagen's Cove. The thought process of at the time for Hagen's Cove is that possibly if we had an agency like FWC to stand shoulder to shoulder to us, that possibly, maybe, we would obtain permission to dredge. I have been unable to obtain any type of answer from any agency, whether that's a yes or a no. So if the board decides to basically start from scratch, we would have to amend our SCP because these two projects follow word for word what is in the approved SCP. So if you want to start from scratch, I would say we need to start all over again.
And that's kind of where I'm at. We've already talked about possibly changing the SCP. What we need, Commissioner, is we need roads that will get us around these areas where it's congested and it's dangerous when you need emergency services. What we need is drainage issues in a community that's fixed. What we could use is another boat ramp that's already there that would take a lot of money. What we don't need...
Well, expansion, right? Yeah. We'll expand it.
Yeah. What we don't need is to add more maintenance costs to us with a big park at... Say, if you did get it at Hagen's Cove, we can't even keep up the little parks we've got now. How in the world are we going to keep this up? This is going to be impossible.
had a birthday party at Shady Grove over the weekend. They couldn't even let the children go out and play in the playground because the weeds were too high. We cannot keep up what we have now. I'm not in favor of spending this money on something that we have not. And yeah, we've made a decision already, but it doesn't mean that we can't change our minds and use it more wisely and be careful about what we're asking for. And we're not asking for more problems instead of going after solutions. I'm done now, so anybody else
want to add? And if I could interject, my understanding of why the funds were budgeted the way they were, in the how much we get over how many years, is that we would make a property acquisition and then just basically sit on it for several years until we had the funds available to start construction or to improve that property.
And you have no idea if you'll ever get a permit. We know with Dr.
Pruitt.
They put millions into it and they never got a permit. And it's a high gamble for us to acquire this property thinking that we're going to get something that nobody else has been able to do.
We're not even going to get enough money from the government on this deepwater horizon spill to even cover the cost that would come out through that rock bed out there. I mean, me and Mr. Wanda sat in a meeting with FWC out here at the airport and looked them right in the eye and asked them straight up, was there any possible chance of dredging across that grass bed out there? And they looked at each other like, no, you know, I could just read it in there. They would not say, they said, we'll get back with you in a few weeks and let you know. We haven't heard a word from them. That's a no.
Yeah, we got word that we were going to come in with some money, and we all got excited, and we saw the pie in the sky, and all these great things, and now that I've had more time to really settle down and think about it, I just don't think that what we decided was the right thing. But again, I'm just one person, that's my opinion.
And if I may, I am not sure that we can use Restore Act money to build roads. And I know that I see a lot of projects septic to sewer and different environmental projects, but I'm not exactly sure that we could use how we could use Restore Act funding for drainage issues. And I'm not saying we can't. I'm just,
well, after 2 or 3 years or 4 years, how come we don't know what we can do with the money?
That kind of turns into an environmental thing. I believe we could do that.
That consultant is for Pot 1 Funds, and yes, they are helping us, but we did not hire that consultant from Jefferson for Pot 3 Funds.
I can understand Madison getting money.
If you want to speak, raise your hand and I'll recognize
you.
I'll let you talk. Just raise your hand.
Jimmy, you mentioned, if I may address Mrs. Moody, spring water is a very viable option for a smaller boat ramp.
Right.
Now, it will require maintenance, just like the bigger boat ramp, but not as much. What other boat ramps that have a channel are you thinking about?
Fish Creek, I've heard through the grapevine, Fish Creek is going to be on the market, that property, and they got 8 acres of parking there. But the neighbors down there don't want nobody there.
I talked to her today. She doesn't.
She does not want a boat ramp.
Right. I have to fix the property 1.4 million. Which, you know, we got $15 million in unallowed spending.
Well, it's because we don't have it all in one chunk, and it's because of the way it was budgeted. The majority of the funds are budgeted for property acquisition, which was why, just to remind you, the Hagen's Cove property seemed like a more viable solution because we could use the funds, we could amend the, ask to amend the SCP and use the funds for construction for at Higgins Cove instead of spending so much in property acquisition.
Right.
But, I mean, that was the original intent of, I'm assuming, the Restore Act Committee, and that was the original intent of that board at the time, was for land acquisition for boat ramps. So that's the direction that we followed for so many, you know, this has been going on for several years.
Dayton Creek is another one that has been a boat ramp for years and years. Old Gate Creek land in there, Gate Creek.
Gate Creek.
Yeah. And it only has a certain amount of park in there, but it's high enough ground there along that road, there could be some more parking. You know, DEP and four engineers,
not all,
you know,
and
work with us on that.
In a year, correct, Mr. Conrad? Our lease with the family is up in a year for Yates Creek.
But,
and it will be put on the market at that time, from what I understand.
But it's for sale, even, I believe, to that property. The Clark property there is for sale, you know.
That's a good option there.
That's an option for that. You can put airboats and kayaks in there 24/7. That's great, you know. But bigger boats have to have a half size or more to go out, you know.
Well, if we could use some of the funds for the infrastructure, such as roads and drainage and those kind of improvements, it would be more prudent to do the things that are necessary first. And then, if there's anything left over, then look at all these fun things.
Mm-hmm. If talking about roads, if we're going to spend money on roads, you go around, you start there at Keaton Beach and go around behind our parking lot there across from the boat ramp and incorporate the old piece of the highway there. It would eliminate all that issue. A bypass right there would be a thing to spend money on.
If they'll let us spend it,
that'd
be a great idea.
If they'll let us spend it for road work, and it's to help the boat ramp and help the safety issue of keeping big fire trucks and ambulances.
It's not only that, it's being mentioned, they've got growth problems there. You know, we talked a while back that we would start really identifying and trying to see what we could do for the future for all the growth problems. They have just growing like crazy.
I don't believe we can use Restore Act funds for even if it's a safety issue. I think it really has to be targeted for restoration or recreation at the Gulf. So even a road that is associated with the Gulf or a boat ramp, I don't think meets the qualifications. Well, I haven't seen any road projects.
It would give you a bunch more parking for the boat ramp where the highway comes there now. You could turn all that into parking space. You know, if you had a bypass, and it would, and, you know, I mean, I'm just super thought.
You still go to those meetings, right?
Yes.
You still go to those meetings?
Right.
When is the next meeting? How do you find out the answer to these questions that we have?
We can contact the board.
We can get the answers to those questions.
Yeah, we can get answers to that question. We can do that tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
So what's the question of the board?
This lady needs some answers. She needs to talk about somebody needs to talk about Gage Creek. She needs to talk about Fish Creek and Spring Warning. If Hayden goes, it costs too much money to get acquisition or Dr. Hudson's property?
Could cost anything to acquire the land.
Yeah. What about Dr. Hudson's property? Is there a house on it?
Yeah, it's got a house.
House.
Yeah. Do we need a house on it?
No.
No.
You, Dr. Hudson's property is a beautiful piece of property, and it's got plenty of parking. But it's solid rock right out there in front of that place, slap out the bird rack right there, rock.
Right. And there's
no way to build a deep water channel right there without millions and millions of dollars worth of work.
I think it would be a nice piece of property for someone, but not for the county.
If you look at both logistically, both the properties in question, okay, Hagen's Cove and Dr. Hudson's property. Hagen's Cove, you're going to spend all your money building that road from the highway all the way out to the water. There's where your expenditure for Hagen's Cove. Through that feasibility study, that's exactly where they're going to tell you. You can cut and dredge brand new canals anywhere in this state if you have other agencies attached to it. Has anybody ever reached out to the Department of Treasury Coast Guard to attach anybody to any of these facilities? So far, we have FWC on board partially. But the more agencies we attach to these venues, the more leverage we have. And we can dig a trench anywhere in this state as long as we have attached agencies. Through this feasibility study, at no cost to the county, nowhere in there does it say it costs the county a dollar. Federal money coming through there for the feasibility studies. If you want an acute mathematical answer, the way to go is through a feasibility study. That's going to tell us exactly where we stand, so that way we can come to some sort of consensus idea. Those are going to be some grand projects, yes, but it is an investment. That's the way we have to look at it. It's an investment.
Okay, but now, if Hagen Cove, if we know now, that's not possible. Dr. Hudson property.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
Okay. We don't know.
Out of the Yates Creek and Fish Creek, just looking at it from the top of your head, which one would cost you the most money? On this project, not
by. I don't think Fish Creek is really available. Is it?
Fish Creek is not available right now, but we can get them
to know. It's something about here.
Spring Warrior.
Okay, you got Spring Warrior, Fish Creek, and Yates Creek. Look like that's the cheapest.
But if you recall, you know, and I don't want to be the devil's horse, but if you recall, when back in February, we went through a pretty exhaustive process of how, ranking these properties. And I don't think, I mean, I know cost is a factor, but I think there were other factors involved in that. And I cannot recall how Yates Creek, I think Yates Creek was not considered at the time because there's no deep water access.
No parking.
And no parking. So
unusable property.
Yes, yes, ma'am. So the reason these properties were ranked the way they are is because of it. It is in compliance with our SCP. So in a way, if the board has changed their vision on how to spend these Restore Act funds, then the SEP needs to be revised.
Well, I don't know that the board has yet changed their focus. I mean, I just stated how I felt, and I've heard how some of the other commissioners feel, but if Commissioner Murphy is correct, and it would take all the money just to fix the road in the Hagen's Cove, and Commissioner Moody's already said how much money it would take, then I don't need a feasibility study then.
I don't think the funds could be used for the road. Didn't you say that we couldn't use the funding?
I don't know that they can.
We don't know that we can do that. The road would be later on with a FERDAP grant or something. Now, the only feasibility study at this time that I'm still interested in is the one for Hagen's Cove, because we've got a partnership with the person that owns the land. We wouldn't have to pay for the land. Mm-hmm. Plus, if you had a big water channel there, we could attract the Coast Guard.
That's right.
And if you had a Coast Guard auxiliary facility there, that's more leverage,
that's right,
I think, to get the permit to do the good. And I think Kenneth has mentioned to us that we probably will have to mitigate. Mm-hmm. And there's that large piece of property. It goes with the extra. That could be used for mitigation if it could be bought at the right price. I think if it's saltwater mitigation, it's something like about 20 acres to one.
It's something like
you
that.
You know, if you're going to tear up 1 acre of seagrass, you got to.
You have to plant somewhere else.
A large ratio there. So, that all in feasibility study, I would be willing to support at this time. Would be the $35,000 to get some of the question answered just for Hagen's Cove. Now, the others, the Yates Creek property has some historical significance back from the Civil War and some Indian artifacts. And years ago, the families had tried to stop some development down there, and they've got the document. I mean, a whole pile of documents that, that can be obtained. So they're going to fight to fish through 1.4 million sale of that property if it ever becomes for sale. So I don't think that would be difficult to pull off.
I don't think you can pull it off either.
I don't think not Fish Creek.
I don't believe you could.
I don't believe you could do that. Now, Yates Creek could be partnered as a litigation piece of property if we got, only if we got the Higgins Cove favorable feasibility study. That's, now, our agenda, it's going to take the $15 million to dredge that canal out of Higgins Cove.
Dr. Pruitt told me himself he was going to put $10 million in the canal. Yes. Right there, just south of Jug Island, and that's what it had already got estimated from an engineer group to dig the canal, and they'd already done core samples and everything else. And that was back then. That was a long time ago.
It's a different question. According to Kenneth, it's a short distance to a little channel out there from Higgins Cove. So I still would like to see us do the feasibility study on that one property. And it might not take the whole 15 million. If there's any left over, or if we change our mind, then I'm all for doing whatever drainage and steam hatching, or a study of the road system. I don't know if you'd spend money on a study of a steam hatching road system. You know, we need to do something down there. As far as making a plan for the streets.
Steam hatching right now is my number one objective. If we go spend any money on anything, we need to help them folks down there get a long-range plan to get that water to that river.
That's right.
Without having pump 24/7 around the clock to try to get that water over that hill there.
That's where I'm at. And I go back to my first point. Even if we could get Higgins Cove and put the road in, if we can't do the road, then the road is our responsibility then, or try to wait on grants and do a match or whatever it takes. And how long would it take you if you ever did get that? But then still, if y'all remember this boat ramp that Kenneth laid out, he laid out a very fine plan with several boat ramps and all kind of nice things to go with it. You still got all of these people that's going to be coming right down that beach road, that's going to turn left, and we still already have congestion there right now that's almost intolerable. Or they're going to come to Steen Hatchie, who still has the same problem. So again, we're putting the cart before the horse when we're not looking at how we're going to accommodate this traffic coming in here, even if we get it. I'm not in favor of a feasibility study, or I'm in favor of dropping the whole project, but I would like to know how we can use this money.
Through your feasibility study. Look at Higgins Cove. How long is that road from the highway? There's a dirt road that goes all the way out to the water, Jim. How long is that road?
It's probably a mile and a quarter.
Okay.
About a mile.
To figure the cost to pave that road and to get that road structured, to get two lanes in there, how much do you think that's going to cost?
$1 million a mile.
$1 million a mile.
But that's on high ground. That's what they threw the sum of $1 million a mile.
Right.
But you got an environmental issue down there right now on both sides of that road.
On both properties.
Water was flowing across the highway right there, the Higgins Cove Road, the other day when I come back from the thing.
So you want to put people on the negative side of a floodplain.
I don't want nothing to do with that there, Higgins Cove, or Hutchins myself. We can't even mow Hampton Springs lot down there and keep it mowed, much less mow Higgins Cove.
And I'm glad you said that, because at the meeting that I was at, which I'm going to talk about later, last week in Tampa, and we had a moderator, a guy that stood up and he talked a little bit about each county of the 8 counties involved. And so when he put a picture of Plainer County up there, one of the first things on there was the historical Hampton Springs Hotel Park. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope nobody comes to look at it. But that in front of 1,000 people or however many, and that's what's out there. That they're trying to showcase Hampton Springs, and we don't want anybody to come.
We get the cart ahead over, I'm telling you. My feeling, that's Tim's feeling. We need to back up and look at this thing a lot closer. Golf season fixing to be over with, and there won't be a big crowd down there because it's a trout starting biting in the spring. Mm-hmm.
Well, we could do, I think, one or two things. We could make a motion to approve this, or we could make a motion not to approve it. Is that correct?
I'll make a motion not to approve it.
Okay, and we're talking about number 20, Hagen's Cove.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second? So I'm going to pass the gavel over to the vice chair, and I will make the second.
I have a motion. When you second, I'm going to give the gavel back to you. We've had a motion and a second. You want me to finish up the motion?
Sure.
We'll now call for discussion. Motion was by Commissioner Moody, and the second was by Commissioner Steele, that we drop the Higgins Cove project. I believe that's the motion, right?
That's it.
All right, now, discussion.
Now, the $37,000, yes, for people looking to study on Higgins Cove, we'll put it on.
$35,000.
Is that a firm number, or?
Is that committed ticket?
I won't say that it's firm because we've never done one of these before. That would be the budgeted amount, is $35,000.
How much did the feasibility study cost you all to get for our dredge and the Keaton Beach come out? Wasn't it like $50,000?
I don't know. I don't believe I was here then. What we would have to do is prepare documents to put this out for bid. And then we would have to still go through the whole procurement process to hire a consultant to conduct the study, the feasibility studies. And I think we would have to be very clear. No, that's all we can spend is 35. I mean, that would have to be the budgeted amount. And I think we would have to make it clear to the consultants what our particular areas of concern are, which would be any potential permitting issues. I don't believe, even through the feasibility study, that we'll get a firm answer from DEP, because that's not the permitting process, it's just the feasibility study. So what you're getting is, in my opinion, is an expert opinion on what our chances are of getting permitted. But it would still have to go through all the permitting process with multiple agencies before we would get a firm answer if they would permit dredging for a seagrass preserve or any other environmental.
So in other words, there's no firm price for the study itself.
We have a
$35,000 budget, mm-hmm. but we see bids come in all the time that's twice what they should be. Then the pressure is on us to put in the other half or whatever it is. So we have no guarantee of what it would cost. And then we have no guarantee of that feasibility study would do this work for us in terms of guaranteeing us that we could dredge a canal.
I don't think it would be. It would not be. I'm just going to go ahead and say that is not a guarantee, because DEP would not permit at that point. This is the expert opinion of where we stand when we ask for permitting and any, into conduct any type of, or identify environmental issues, historical issues, things like that. And I do believe that we advertised, we could just reject the bids. We would not have to take any bids outside of our budget.
May I ask a question? Would the feasibility study provide us for an estimate, if the channel were permitted, of what the construction cost would be? How much rock? Is it $10 million, $15 million? Would it go that much in depth?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't think it could, because they'd have to do a course. They'd have to do a course
right. Well, the way I learned, this is part of that deal.
And that's that gets real expensive, and then they got to get DEP and Corps of Engineer permits just to do core samples out.
So all they got to do, well, they could go online and say, well, in Florida, this is a cigarette affair, they don't give any permits. County, you can't do it. Send me my check, $35,000. Mm-hmm. And then they'll provide us with anything to make a decision on. But anyway, we're going to discuss the phase of this. Sean, you want to add anything to this?
Well, I think I've given you every measure that I can.
Yeah.
My point of view, if we want to go forward with any kind of project, I would submit both, but we've already agreed not to go with Haven's Cove. We've gone this far. We've already put so much time and so much effort to get this far, to get those two narrowed down to number one and number two. To stall at this point right now, I don't like that at all.
Call for the question.
All right, the question has been called. The motion was by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Thiegel. We've all had an opportunity to express ourselves. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. No. The motion can't pass. You're an aye.
Yeah, I'm an aye.
All right, the motion passes. All right.
Thank you.
You have it. Back.
I want to ask for a future.
What would you like to do next with this project?
Go to number 21. And let's talk about that one and then we'll do that. 21, the board to consider approval of and ratify the grant application documents to the GOAT Consortium requesting funding to complete a feasibility study and funding to determine if the Hutchins property is a viable location for a public recreational voting facility as agendaed by the grants director. I've already heard several say they were not in favor of the Hutchins property. I stand, my same argument goes for this property as it did for Haven's Cove.
Make a motion that we not approve the feasibility study for the Hutchins property.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Same sign, nay.
Motion carries. I think what we need to do is find out exactly how we can use the money. And then once we do that, then we need to reconvene. And I know it's frustrating. I do want to say it again how much I appreciate what Kenneth put into Haven's Cove. I think it was a great, great plan. But I think we all agree that it's probably not the thing for us to do right now. But once we know exactly what we can do with the money, then you know we need to come back to the drawing table and keep working it until we feel like we've got it right. We just don't feel like we have it right yet.
I understand. And so would you, should we plan on maybe the September workshop being able to provide an update
sure.
on what we yes. found and the steps that we would need to revise the SCP because once we know exactly what we can spend the funds on, then the SCP can be revised and it would basically be starting, obtaining a fresh start.
Okay. And I mean, I know it's going to be frustrating for all the people that's worked so hard, but you know, sometimes people do have second thoughts and sometimes more do have other things to consider, and we just want to make sure that we get it right and that we're, if we have options with the money, that we're putting it where it really needs to go. It's kind of like at home, if you use your paycheck to buy stuff that you want instead of paying your bills. That's not, I kind of see it the same way. I think we need to make sure we've got our priorities in place.
When everybody has a block, you got to change your mind.
I would like to say, I hear probably talking about the rock. How many of those places we got? We got Fish Creek, we got Spring Roy, we got Hagen Cove, Yates Creek. How many of those places got rock? All of them?
All of them.
All of them.
All right. Then I hear about the seagrass. Now, How many of them got cigarettes that you wanted to go any other way? Well, maybe we don't need to be doing this.
That's what I'm saying. Well, that's, and we've discussed that. I know that we brought concerns to the board previously about is this, you know, will we obtain permitting because of the seagrass preserve, which is, but I don't think, I don't know that we'll ever know the answer to that at this point.
But I see Levy County, which is down there, Otter Creek and all, they don't have this same problem?
They are not in the middle of the seagrass preserve. So
what about the rock? What about the rock formation? Isn't the rock formation?
I can't speak to.
I don't think. There's one place in Taylor County you don't have a seagrass preserve. It's the only place, that's Mouth of Pinhole River.
So,
I think that the seagrass preserve is pretty specific to Taylor County, which is what makes Taylor County so wonderful as far as golfing. Well, now the easiest place to dredge it now.
Yeah, I'm still frustrated.
Yeah, we all are. Yes.
The federal U.S. Treasury still holds funds, are they actually being distributed each year to the Taylor County?
No, they hold the funds.
So we're not getting any interest on this fund?
I don't think so. I don't think there's a provision for interest.
No. I asked that question one time, and they couldn't answer that at a rhetorical meeting.
I mean, I don't know that we did.
Well, so all of you wait to do anything.
It's paid.
They have. The information that costs is going up. But that money's fixed.
I didn't see anything about a percent over right then on interest.
The Treasury's holding that money.
Yeah.
Is what they're doing. Mm-hmm.
BP has paid it?
I don't know.
I asked the question. Has BP paid it? You're saying Treasury's holding it. Has BP paid it?
I don't know that they paid the entire amount.
Yeah, that's what scared me from the start.
I imagine they're making an annual installment.
You know, I guess I'm sitting here thinking about Jefferson County and some of the things that you said about, you know, the roads and what we could and couldn't do, you thought. And I wonder what Jefferson County is going to do with all their money if anybody ever gets it. I mean,
they don't have a boat right.
I mean, so if you can't, if it has to be used at the coast, so to speak, then why
plus some of the other counties are doing septic to sewer projects. They're doing reef projects. There's some water quality improvement projects. It's what I can think of off the top of my head. I don't recall what Jefferson County is doing with their funds. I'd have to look it up.
Sewer systems is one thing they're really putting in, trying to put money into an area that needs sewer systems.
You heard what the folks here said here not long ago about
that water quality business they talk about. That's one of the big things some of them have done, but I don't know.
We need to go back.
Okay, re-advertise then. Okay.
I'll say.
Okay.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 22, the board to consider approval of award of the Florida Firefighter Assistance Grant Agreement between Taylor County and Department of Financial Services as agended by Dan Castle, County Fire Chief. This is so good. Tell us about it.
Mine's not going to be as crazy, I think, as the rest of the weekend. We got a notice that we were awarded the first round of our grant. We would receive five self-contained breathing apparatus at CBA. The first round is about $32,000 worth of savings to the county. The grant is 100% funded. just need board approval to accept the grant. And then we're expecting, we'll probably see a second round approval come around November. So hopefully by the time it's all said and done, we'll be about $64,000 to $65,000 worth of equipment.
Good job.
Good job. Maybe you're happy when I
make
that. Can I tell
them anymore? Oh, yeah. You want to more emotion for that? But I want to talk to them a little bit after that, too. I saw something yesterday that I wondered who equipment that was, and then get what fighting that fire, what spray. I saw one of these scope poles from...
A ladder truck?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who truck was that?
That's all. It's a federal surplus property that we obtained through the state of Florida's forestry's procurement procedure course, but it is a Kewa County truck.
Okay. Kudos for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And that one was with...
You know how I love these grant contracts. I'm not going to mess it up. I'm just going to tell you some of the pitfalls, and it's contingent on annual appropriation of funds by the legislature. Venue of any dispute will be in Leon County. Waive jury trial, and you have to pay your own attorney's fees if there's a suit. I just wanted to remind you that that's the way these grant contracts go. So if anybody asks you about that, you can certainly tell them that we knew when we signed it that this is the way it goes. They ain't going to change it. And what's interesting about these contracts, they must have one little man up there or one little lady up there reviewing contracts for grants for the whole legislature. They put new stuff in there every time to make it more in their favor if something goes wrong. That's why I said with Mr. Boland, I said, we ain't going to agree to be under the laws of the state of Texas, that's for sure.
Or Michigan.
That's right.
Or anywhere else. Okay, is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
Second. Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Murphy, second by Commissioner Dix. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Just keep looking for those good hands.
Did you have any volunteers yesterday out there with you?
Yes, we had three or four.
And the city was out there also?
Yeah, it was a city call that we provided mutual aid for. In total, between all the firefighters on scene, there was 22 firefighters between the city, the county, and Madison, Atkinson, and Melton.
Okay.
Good.
Can I have the water source out there? Or does the city have enough water pressure out there to do much good?
There were some water issues early on, not because of the city water system, just the internal system at the moment.
Okay.
But we worked it out.
Okay. Under general business, item 23, Chairman Feeble to discuss end course meeting. Okay. I was down there last Tuesday for a very long meeting. I'm not very many complaints. It was very intense. But I'm just going to give y'all some general information and then some thoughts that I have. If you don't know, the M Corps is a multi-use quarters of regional economic significance. That's what it means. This bill originated with Senate President Galvano and was passed by the legislature this year. FDOT created a 41-member task force, which I am a member. M Corps has three quarters. You have the Southwest Central Florida Connection. That's from Collier County to Polk County. That doesn't concern us. We have the Northern Turnpike Connector, which will connect the current turnpike to the Suncoast Parkway, which the Suncoast Connector is what we're concerned with. The Suncoast Connector is from Citrus County, where it ends now, to Jefferson County. And this will include eight counties: Citrus, Levy, Gilchrist, Dixie, Lafette, Taylor, Madison, and Jefferson counties. Besides the eight counties, The study area facts include 21 cities and towns, 5,635 square miles of land area, 286,827 residents, 48,780 jobs, 2,217 lane miles of state highway system, 147 miles of rail, and one seaport. The MCOR's purpose is to revitalize rural communities, encourage job creation, and provide regional connectivity while leveraging technology, enhancing quality of life and public safety, and protecting the environment and natural resources. MCOR's objective is advance the construction of regional corridors that are intended to accommodate multiple modes of transportation and multiple types of infrastructure. The task force rules are, and I hate to bore y'all with this, but just information that I felt like you, that I wanted to share with you, but the task force rules are coordinate with FDOT with pertinent aspects of corridor analysis, addressing such issues such as hurricane evacuation, congestion, mitigation, trade and logistics, broadband, water and sewer connectivity, energy distribution, autonomous, connected, shared, and electric vehicle technology, other transportation modes such as shared use, non-motorized trails, freight and passenger rail, public transit. And all of this while protecting the enhancement of wildlife corridors, environmentally sensitive areas, is to evaluate the need for and the economic, environmental, and hurricane evacuation and land use impact, hold public meetings, and then the task force to report their evaluations. That will be by October 1, 2020 to the governor. The Suncoast Connector and Northern Turnpike Connector evaluate design features and the need for acquisition of state conservation lands that mitigate the impact of project construction on water quality and quantity of streams, rivers, aquifer, recharge areas, ag lands, and wildlife habitat. To the maximum extent feasible, the corridor project construction must begin no later than December the 31st, 2022, with the corridors open to traffic no later than December the 31st, 2030. Okay.
I'll be 90 years old.
We met last Tuesday in Tampa for a full long day meeting. There were many questions and still many unknowns. A large delegation from the public was present and given the opportunity to speak, and believe me, for 2 hours they spoke. My main concern right now is, number one, will a road be built that will bypass our town and have a negative economic impact on our local businesses? Will there even be a feeder or connector road in Taylor County? And who will fund the land acquisition and construction of this feeder or connector road? Will any feeder or connector road attract businesses? And if so, what kind? Will it be gas stations, fast food restaurants, and motels? If this is true, if this happens, then these are low-paying jobs. How will this road benefit Taylor County? Will the only benefactors be landowners, FDOT construction companies, and friends of the powerful sponsors? Will accidents on a fast-moving road require the county to fund more law enforcement and emergency services without assistance from the state? And then the infrastructure maintenance of the feeder roads, who's going to fund that? Will we lose our rural environment to a population explosion? They said over and over, there's 900 new people every day that enter Florida, either through birth or by moving, 900 a day. You know, our rural environment is rich in natural resources. Pretty much those are my concerns. I was able to express some of my concerns. When I go back, I'll outline more of these. I think it's extremely important that we hear from the community, and they stress that a lot, that they really want feedback from the community. So I think it's prudent for everybody to know as much about this and stay connected, go to the meetings that you can, stay in contact with us. You can go online and keep up with what's going on with it, but the main thing is just your input is very important. And the meeting dates and places, let's see, I've got that somewhere. For our task force, the next meeting is October the 23rd in Citrus County. And then on October the 24th, the next day, there's a community open house in Dixie County. And then our next meeting, the third meeting, is December the 17th here in Taylor County at Big Bend Technical College. Then there's a community open house on December the 19th in Lafayette County. Public workshops January and February, they're going to announce those. The fourth meeting on March the 11th in Madison County. There's another community open house on March the 12th in Jefferson County. Public workshops April and May, and that will be announced. And then the fifth task force meeting will be June the 9th in Levy County. So, and then June the 11th in Gilchrist, June the 30th. But as you can see, they want the public involved. Any questions?
They didn't lay out what's the good here.
South Watch Band, she did well on Watch Over Florida Channel. And that's within as well. I'll go up there.
Thank you.
They didn't show you across the route, did they? Did they show you a route through Taylor County?
They did not have a route yet, because all of us were real interested. Where's the road going to go? Don't even know where the road is going to go yet. And the one thing that I expressed was, if this, and I feel like from everything that I heard last Tuesday, this road's coming. The governor's behind it, the legislature's passed this bill, and I believe it's coming. Now, if it does pass through Taylor County, which it probably will, I sure don't want it to be out there somewhere and bypass our business area here and keep on going and not stop in Taylor County. As it is now, y'all know many people stop and gas up and spend the night and eat here. So that's a real concern, that it's going to take people away instead of running them in. And then, like I said, if it creates jobs, there's going to be construction jobs, and FDOT is going to have their own construction of people that they're going to hire. You know, I guess maybe they could hire some local people, I don't know, but if those jobs are going to be at these feeder roads with gas stations and restaurants and motels, that's low-paying jobs. And my question too is, how's it going to bring big industry in? I mean, we're all thinking, oh yeah, big jobs and big money, and then maybe gas stations and motels, I don't know.
I can answer one thing that I heard too, talk about the highway years ago when they talked about building a highway through Taylor County. Where it hits I-10 will be a hub for the state right there. And that'll be a big industrial hub right there where it hits I-10. And that will be where the big jobs will come into, like Amazon warehouses and things like that. What people say that would be the hub, that where it hits the major highway is where your hub, where the jobs are going to come in.
Unfortunately, we don't have.
Well, we're not that far from I-10.
Shade Road right there.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, and I agree. I hear, and we've argued many times with development issues of, well, we're not that far from I-10.
Everything coming down I-10 that's going to go south will turn right, that hood. And all the, that would be Warehouse City right there around them hoods. And Atlanta, make, you know, everywhere you got a hub off something like that, off of 95, 75, it's industrial park, you might as well say.
Well, there's just, there's so many questions and not answers. I mean, I guess they've got this idea it's dubious, and they're not saying where it's going to be or how the jobs are going to be created and, or anything like that. It's just that they want to move the traffic from South Florida out of there as quick and easy as they can. Now, somebody made a comment that, I think it was the guy from Dixie County, but I'm not positive. He said, well, you know, if you go out on 19 almost any time, you don't see that many cars. You don't see that many cars. Now, when there's a hurricane, you would see a lot of cars out there. But in general, if you drive here to Palm City, we don't have a traffic problem. But I know they got a traffic problem down south.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I guess I don't know if I support this or not yet, really, because if I knew that it was going to have a good positive impact, but nobody knows, or is it going to cost us more? We're going to have to put more sheriff's department and police out there and pay for all that. I don't know.
Is it going to be a toll road?
It will be a toll road, yes.
Hmm.
And I know I talked to the representative from Citrus County, which is Crystal River, because I was really surprised. Because I thought of all the counties that they would certainly be one that said no. Because, you know, you have to go, and we stop every time we go to Tampa and Crystal River, mm-hmm. either for something to eat or gas or something. And he said, oh no, we're hoping. He says, we're for the road, and we're hoping that we have enough stuff in Crystal River that people want to get off and come see what we've got. Well, if they're advertising yet, there's springs for us. We're going to
yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, what have we got that somebody want to get off and see?
This coastline out here, they've got the best vision in the state of Florida.
But if you're going from A to B, you ain't got your vision pulling
out. I understand. But there's a lot of people that will come and go that will come right here to this coast. I mean, you know, I feel like.
My greatest fear, and this ties into what you said, is if you build a road, say, to the east of Perry, and it's 9 miles out there in the bay, then there's got to be a 9-mile road to Perry. Nobody's going to turn off 9 miles to come get gas. I hope if it comes through Tampa County, whether it's on the west side of 19 or the east side, that it's relatively close. So you can see the signage and get off at certain interchanges, and we could still draw some extra local business. Now, my long-term hope is that we would attract something like I've seen over here on I-10 over there around Mariana, $1,000 warehouse. Maybe we could attract one of those here, even though we're not at the hub. my fear would be if you build it halfway between here and Mayo, it's not going to benefit us a whole lot.
They're not going to put it to the Bay of Alpha.
What's that?
They're not going to plan one time to get ADAM, but the interstate ADAM from Greenville to Perry, Adam Boyd promoted it, and do a bypass around Perry. Come back in down here, right to the UCF Junction. But that when he first came to office, it was there. But I'm going to toot for him. The Engine 26 thing we did, Taylor County would not be like the villages. Danny Grimer will tell you that. We got plans and ready for it. Citrus County was the county we pointed at. They don't have the first Native County Commissioner down there. They didn't have. Wilbur Langley was the last one. Not sure the board did. That place was booming. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
that's
they
want to
get that big
pump
on that
island.
Get it all the way in there.
Well, the one thing that I did say, and I know that you mentioned to it behind me, that if that road does come through Taylor County, which it probably will, then my job will be to try my best to get them to work with what we've got. Now, I mentioned Highway 19 and 27. That's our main in and out, much more our business, a lot of our businesses are that people stop at.
I don't know that people coming down 19 and 27, how many actually come uptown here. My guess is that most of them probably just stop on 19 and keep going, or maybe pull off to the Walmart there. But my goal will be to argue to try to keep, use what we've got. And I don't know how they would do that.
I agree with you, Pam. That's noble, but they're not going to put it on Jefferson Street either.
Well, of course not. But I mean, I will try my best to at least. I don't want it 9 miles out there for everybody that is coming through Taylor County now will not be coming through here, and they won't stop to drive 9 miles to get gas when they go right down to Jefferson County and have a gas station right there, because they don't, you know, where they tie in. So I don't know. I'm just.
There's a parallel between the interstate. Look at Macon. I was there when I was supposed to come through Shady Grove, and politics got turned away. They put it north. But the interstate killed our motel industry. We have more motels than Tallahassee or Veterans Lane, Dave, I think. But anyway, yeah, I appreciate it. I was watching you did good, and it's
well, there are a lot of people there that were concerned about. You know, this is our little rural county, and we have a lot of natural resources, and it's quiet, and it's laid back, and people don't want 500 cookie cutter houses to come in. You know, they all look the same, and they've got to touch each other, and you know, they're worried about our wetlands and our and all kind of things with our natural resources. And you know, I don't think I would want Superior to become a crystal river at all, because I like what we've got here, but we need more jobs, that's for sure. Yeah.
I was going to say they're going to demand more boat ramps if they all come out.
Well, whatever.
I could be done, Pam, but couldn't it have passed? With the knowledge and thought of reading the Planning Council, the Alachua County delegation, they are badly against it.
I know that. Marion.
Marion County is badly against it. The thing that bothers me, if you go to Gainesville and you don't go there by, not High Springs, but Newberry, on 26 and 27 Alton, it's built, wall, solid wall all the way down. And I wonder what their part of the game is, why they don't want it. I'm the economic consultant. I might not be for a toll road or anything like that. But
they're not 75, they don't want it.
Well, I do know that economic development, when you go out and try to sell your town, they want to know what interstate close to you and all of this. And if you don't have anything changed for them to get off, you probably won't get it. And I reckon if you ain't got the right economic dollar, you're not going to get it either. But when, now, they got somebody on there from Tallahassee, Leon County, that won't affect them. We got the one from Gainesville that won't affect them, the one from Marion County that won't affect them. But that, if you want some money, you go to those counties and you find out that they got some money. They got some money more population-wise. You come to Taylor County, you know, if you decide to be you might not have that many people a whole lot of money. So, and I reckon what I'm saying, I like to hear what they got to say. That schedule you got, I want one of them schedules, because, you know, the people you represent, they want you to go and be in the know. When they ask you a question, they want you to know what them
means. And I want everybody to
do
as many as you can, because you know, we're all in this together.
That's true.
And I heard, again, you know, I did a lot of kind of manning around last Tuesday during that 2 15-minute breaks we had all day, but I heard, and I don't know if this is fact, that Marion County was against it because of their horse farms and their industry, that they don't want that. And, you know, a quiet little area will not be quiet again.
Yeah. But if you go out, you know, and I was in Ocala, my cousin was in a facility. I went out 200, There is another town outside, out there on 200 now. It's bigger than Old County, you know, downtown on 40.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You go out there, man,
it looks like it's a new city, like you go into a Citrus County.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a new city out there, man.
Villages.
That's part of
the villages.
But I wish, you know, there were more answers, but during that whole day, every task force member was asking questions, and there's just not many answers yet. But yet, what's funny is we've got just a little under 12 months to have a recommendation for the governor. Now, and I said, how in the world do you expect this? Even in our county, sometimes it takes longer than that to do something. How are you going to build a multi-million dollar road and get the plans in 12 months, 13 months? I said, well, we're going to do it. So I don't know if that rush up job is good or not. You know what I'm saying? I get kind of a little suspicious of such a big multi-million dollar project being rushed through.
Did anybody mention eminent domain and condemnation?
No.
Because let me tell you something. And I, as a brand new lawyer, I did some of the I-10 stuff, you know, and represented landowners in I-10 when I-10 was coming through. And the first thing that you do in a condemnation is is if you can't negotiate with a landowner without having to go to court, then you file a complaint for eminent domain or condemnation, and the court has to rule that it's for the public good of taking a person's property. And there's going to be a judge there, or two, or three, that's going to say, you know, I don't think this is going to be for the public good, and I'm not going to grant this taking. You understand what I'm saying? Then if they do grant the taking, then you have a 12-person jury, if you're not able to settle, which will set what the piece of property will cost, plus loss of business, you know, loss to the remainder and so forth. I mean, it's kind of, that takes time. And then there's going to be appeals, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if these people, that's what I was really interested in is, you know, did anybody even mention that?
You drive on there and place it, then the landlord can get the same benefits from it that you took. Just threaten, okay?
Yeah.
Probably two or three of those.
Yeah, yeah.
There was, quite a few comments about, like I said earlier, that the only people that really make any money being the landowners, the contractors, and
the lawyers. I knew they said that.
But it's a very aggressive schedule, but so far not answered, or at least they're saying they don't have answer about them.
See, what every minute you watch Pam on the Florida Channel. You still go to YouTube, we're gonna watch her again. I did. She did good.
Good.
Anyway, please y'all go to as many of these as you can. Watch it and help me. Help me.
It says the project's 8 years. Like Conrad said, a condemnation suit in one county could last 5 years.
Easy.
Easy. So 2030 is really not a good date to say if you want it completed.
But I mean, to me, just 13 months or so, or 14 months to have this whole thing ready to present. I don't know.
Your minds are
early.
As you may know, September 10th, there is ethics training schedule that Mr. Ali helped put in place. It is sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce and the Perry newspaper, and it is advertised as a free ethics training for anyone in the public, constitutional officers, elected officials, etc. And it has come up that there is the charge for this ethics training of $500, and I just need some guidance from the board if you would be willing to use some of the budgeted money that we have for such things. There is some funds in that budget. If you would like to pay for all of the attendance at this training, or if you would rather do something else.
Wait a minute, what's free about it, Dan? I thought it was free.
Well, what's your best? Do you copy something in the paper?
It was advertised as free ethics training to members of the public, constitutional officers, elected officials. I'm sure anyone who would like to attend is welcome at this function. I know there was this was put on last year, and the services were volunteered last year. This year, there is a charge of $500 for these services. Now, we have three commissioners who have until the end of the calendar year to obtain your ethics training, and the next scheduled training that I have found is November 19th in Broward County.
But you're asking us, do we want to use taxpayer money to pay for this for free for everybody? If that's what you're asking, my answer is not only no, but heck no. Let each person that wants to go, let the person that's putting it on say, I'll put it on for this amount of money. We can get enough participants to pay for it. But no, I'm not willing to use taxpayer money to pay for everybody to go for free. No.
I think the probably the upside when this was initially posed to the board was that there would be a potential savings because you would not have to travel for this training, which I understand. Yes, ma'am, you can. That is an option. And again, the next training that I found is during the legislative conference, November 19th. So those of you we have two commissioners who have met their responsibilities for this year, three commissioners who need the training, you have until the end of December. I don't know if there will be another scheduled training. Sometimes they do try to fit one in, but as of now, your options are to study online, go to Broward County November 19th, or there is a scheduled training on September 10th. Now, there was some discussion of possibly obtaining a price per person and then utilizing that method, but I don't know if that's an option anymore, or potentially having it broken down between the city, the county, the constitutional officers, things like that. Because we do have three commissioners who do require the training. And we typically pay, I believe, $75 a person.
Just for the training?
Yes, sir.
That doesn't include the mileage and the motel bill?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Can you have any talk? I'll be right to a close. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
He'll do it free. He did it last year for a dozen Johnson Bakery donuts. They did it. So at that SU school of government, they get $1,500 a day, $1,500 or $1,000 a day for what they do. He said $500 would cover our expense if you can afford that. If not, let me know. Okay. This thing's got, I can't believe the one is asking this much time or something. It'll be free to get $500. He'll do it for nothing. I just asked him to do it for nothing. It's just, I can't believe I'm so overwhelmed. I'm embarrassed. He hadn't spent this much time. You call the chamber trying to get some money. He'll do it free, okay? And he's got a lot of credentials. You can look at him, okay? But back to the point. I think we need ethics training, okay? Appointees, elected officials, and my presenter's course, is he pretty good?
He's very good.
He did every department head in Polk County. He did statewide, all over the county. And I was told our grandparents, great grandparents were siblings, I think. But this has got all out for him just to get the $500, okay? He'll do it for you. I guess I know he will. Michael, did anybody else went to that last time, I think? Michael, did Michael?
Yes, sir.
Daniel wants to do it. and the Chamber of Commerce agreed to sponsor. Here, the newspaper agreed to sign up for sponsor. They're not paying anything. They just do it because they're interested in the government, okay? I can't believe that we spend this much time over $500 topic, okay? Diana got an email from today on the note. I think I sent you about with some of the same people covering the issue that came there. He's going to change his case studies, I guess. But he's known statewide, and we're fortunate to have him come to it. But, you know, we can. I'm almost embarrassed him to come. If he knew what all this went on, I was asking him to. So he does a good job and I can do to him. And I was doing last year, my wife got sick and had to leave. But what if you'll just cancel $500 a month and get that? If you want to contribute, that's fine. I'm not going to get it. I'm begging you for $500 when you can do it free. Okay? Thank you.
So
the one you
just
said
that we don't have to pay the $500?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I just don't think it's right. But I agree with you. To pay taxpayer money to pay for something for everybody to not participate. I just don't think that's right. Well,
I brought
it up, and he means that if we could afford $500 to cover this cost, okay, that's what Malcolm said. Ask Dana to ask for $500. She didn't want to do that. That's what we got good at five, and to do it free. That's what was happening.
That's right.
I can't believe, I'm in serious, that you had to call the chamber, call the folks trying to get $500 for something that makes so much sense. But anyway, you get $500, and I guess we'll go ahead with it. I'd like you all to promote the ethics training. It's good, Michael's in there. Michael Gibbons in there. It's a good thing. Yeah. I'm standing for appreciation, but David's office, and every elected official in the county, school board, city, and everything. This is her budget. She's got responsibilities to all those offices. And anybody that's appointed to a position ought to have to agree to take ethics training. Does that make any sense?
We all agree with ethics training. There's no question about ethics training. We have to take it by law, and it's a good thing. My only thing was, I just don't feel like that Taylor County should pay for other entities to take it too. It could be spread around. Okay, thank you. We got it.
I'm embarrassed.
We got it. I am too. So what's the pleasure of the board?
I'll have y'all promote it if you will. Tell me if you can.
No action then on this item? Is that agreeable with everyone?
Let me speak just for a moment.
Sure.
I'm one of the people who need the ethics training. And the one that you brought up on a per head basis, I certainly have no objection to you donating whatever money we have for training for me, District 1 Commission. If we've got $200 in that little fund, $150, that's a great way to spend it. Teach me how to go to Broward County. Now, I know I don't have $500 here.
So when your individual line item for travel is just travel, there is another line item for fees such as registration, training, things like that. So there is over $700 in that line item.
Just for District 1?
For all districts, for everyone.
Well, that was a pretty fun if you paid the whole $500.
Well, it's almost the end of the fiscal year, so I don't know if anyone anticipates any other registration for conferences or training or any such as that. But typically, when we pay the per cost for ethics training, it is charged to that line item in the what we call the VOCC account. And so all five commissioners would be charged to that line item.
So it's not budgeted out
District 1, 2, 3, all one lump sum.
For just the training part, not the travel part.
Paul is taking us all off the hook. He's taking it upon himself to see if it happens, so I guess no action is.
It's almost a case of something that I ain't got time, but you don't have to do a thing, but I'd encourage people to go.
Yeah.
And sign up.
Everybody needs to go, right?
I tell you, he's good. He's a
very good instructor.
He did every department head in Polk County. He did every all over the state. And his granddaddy played football here. He got a new scholarship for school here. He's doing it for the county.
Well, what a person like that should do would say, I'm going to have this program on such a day. It costs $50 a person, $25 a person, whatever. Who all wants to come, pays their part.
It's not him, man, it's us. And he didn't initiate it, okay? We asked him to come. Like, last year we paid him Dublin, Johnson, Beckley, David. That's what he charged last time, okay? And this time, $500 without COVID. He's going to do handouts for all the people, copies and all that. I'm embarrassed.
Okay, we want to just move on.
That's all it is, you.
Move on.
Move on.
I think we need to move on.
Let's move on.
Okay. Item 25, the county administrator to discuss informational items.
I just wanted to update the board on upcoming meetings that we have in September. September's a very busy month. As a reminder, September 5th at 1:30 is a meeting in Dixie County with the neighbors firm. On September 6th is the North Florida Economic Development Partnership, or partnership meeting at Big Bend Technical College that starts at 9 o'clock. Then on September 9th, Ms. Annie Mae, we have a budget hearing at 5:01, correct? 9th and the 16th.
We got two meetings here.
What time is that September 9th meeting?
5:01. And I believe the 16th at 5:01.
Yeah, I think she don't have it on this calendar yet, but it's September the 9th, 5:01, and September the 16th.
And September the 9th is on Monday.
Yes, sir. And the 16th. So that's the first of our...
What day of the week is the 16th?
It's Monday.
Monday.
What about the 16th? Well, then we're on the Monday.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And those are our budgets, our public hearings for
our 7th, 8th, your regular meeting for the 24th.
Yes.
And I'm working on the calendar for the Value Adjustment Board, and we have two members on there plus an alternate. I'm trying to get that stuff out. We have to have the organizational meeting and the non-tenure petition. So, and the organization's going to be playing on September 26th, 5:30.
Could you just email this to us?
Sure.
So that we'll have it somewhere.
Sure. And then I sent you a message that I know you are looking at some town hall meetings, so
yeah.
There may be a conflict with one of those, with one of your dates on the 9th. Yes, we have a public.
Well, that's what are we going to do at that budget meeting? And at the first one, you will approve the tentative budget and have public hearing. And then on the 16th, you will do the final budget and adopt all the resolutions and the documents that has to do with your budget.
So on September the 9th at 5:01. That probably won't take but a few minutes.
I would think so, unless you have a lot of people on the
check. Okay, I've already advertised for my town hall meetings. I've got four coming up. I'll be here at 5:01. But I may have to leave at 5:30.
I hope you're through by then.
I said two.
Are the meetings at 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock, yeah. I begin at 6.
Okay.
Okay, UMass 9-5, this is county meeting 9-6, the drug war is not developed at 9, is the,
Economy College. At the Finn Technical College, 9-9 and 9-16 are our public hearings for the budget. 9-17 is regular board meeting, 9-24 workshop, and you're thinking 9-26 value adjustment course.
What's 9-26?
The value of
the AV. Mm-hmm. Now I got such a gallop pool in
there. Very busy.
Sometime in September, Conrad, we got to go to the landfill, and that's on Wednesday. I don't know which Wednesday, I haven't gotten an agenda yet.
Is that
where
you have all the
steak
and the mullet and all that stuff?
That'll be prime rib this time, hard to work.
I think I'm supposed to go with you, aren't I?
You're supposed to go with me. Conrad. We'll come this time, I'll call John and tell him we won't try me. Where we all?
Okay, item 26, comments and concerns from the public for non-agenda items. Yes, sir.
Stanley 2901, Riverside, Steve Hatcher. After your last meeting, when you looked at frozen roads and steam hatching, I decided to research those roads and who owned what property you are. And I was surprised when I found out that the county commission owns a lot on First Avenue Northwest that is on the river. And it's just a few hundred yards maybe from the 60 acres that you also own. I do not know if this is something that you could turn into a low rent with 60 acres of parking. If you could, you could take your low rent that you have there now, limit the number of boats that they can launch in any given day, and then close that rent and send everybody down to the western rent. And you would improve your traffic pattern in steam hatching. And you would eliminate trucks and trailers and boats parking in the neighborhoods all the way around your existing boat there. All those people would be very pleased not to look out ever. They have a weekend and see people parking in front of them.
Just for everybody, is that on the achievement, you remember that was one track parcel number? It's on those achievement fees that the value was $300,000 and it was...
No, the value on this one is $100,000.
Well, it might be reduced now because of all the issues. I don't know, but it was about six lots and they were bottom river.
This is one lot. And I was never aware of it before, and I should have been because I tried to keep up the steam hatching in the calendar. And I'll be glad to be at your workshop. I plan on being anyway. You know, I have handouts for you so you can see where it is. Anybody that wants to see before then, I've got them at my house.
Can you send them over to...
I've already given
them. He will have a copy of it.
And then, just...
I'll see them.
But it dawned on me, listening to the discussion today about boat ramps and traffic, that if it was possible to site one there, you could do what a lot of other counties do on their ramps. This ramp will take 100 cars, or 100 boats and trucks and trailers, and then nobody else can park there or use that ramp. And in this case, if the other one is down there, it's maybe a quarter mile.
So it would be a boat ramp straight down into the river?
The lot you own is on the river, yes.
Okay.
It is. It's also on First Avenue, which they asked you to close.
That sounds interesting.
Okay.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Okay. If not, we'll go to item 27, board informational items. Commissioner Moody?
Mosquitoes is getting bad, and we just need to keep the sprayer going. I had a complaint the other night, a fellow called me and said that the truck was riding around with a thing running, but there wasn't nothing coming out of it. But he needed to maybe get him a rear view mirror or But they all getting bad.
You probably need to find out where that was and what's going on with that. But it wasn't going too fast, am I?
Weren't going too fast, but they weren't putting out any foil. No. That's all I got.
Mr. Page?
I just want to thank the lot of the staff for some progress on Harrison Blue, little off-site.
Yay!
We finally got progress started again. It slowed down because our workforce has been busy. And we should be down and seeing action with the water issue. I would ask, even though I think I know the answer, are we still pumping down there in La Mona?
Yes. We have, as of today, three large pumps pumping the flooded area on Central Avenue. So we have two pumps on Central and then one on 14th. And they're both pumping out of the same arm. And we have a small pump on 2nd Avenue as of earlier today.
Did the hose and the other parts that you tried to rent, were you ever able to secure all the materials you needed?
There was one missing traffic crossing that was finally located in New Jersey, but we determined that with the time it would take to get it here, that would be a futile effort. So what we're doing now is trying to secure some funding for purchasing a set of ramps, which would be $5,880 to keep on site. And we purchased the hose, which Commissioner Murphy pledged the money out of his district funds. So when this is all said and done, we'll have a large pump, 8,500 feet of hose, and one set of the traffic crossings.
Right. Or we don't have to borrow again.
Well, if there's another event like we're dealing with now, we will have to rent pumps.
Right.
But we'll have the hose, which is the most expensive, and we'll have at least one set of the traffic crossings. So we have two sets now, and so we have water going in two different directions off Central, which was the last area that was still flooded as of today.
We don't know how much it's going to rain. I think it rained out there, maybe some today. But other than just normal summer showers, is there any end in sight to the pumping, or can you give us an estimate? Two more weeks.
I don't think it will be that long. Sometimes it's hard to tell, but Hank told me earlier today that with three large pumps going, that he thought that they could clear it out in maybe a few days. And I hate to promise that,
right.
But it didn't sound like it would be an additional 2 weeks. And some of this is contingent upon what's happening with the groundwater level. We've had some things in our favor the last week because it hasn't been raining as much. It has been extremely hot, which helps with the evaporation. And the river is not as high. So the groundwater level has dropped, which gives the water another place to go. So I think that the recession of the water isn't just due to the pumping, it's just Mother Nature. If that answers your question. So,
no. I had someone mention today that he had been down there and he had seen our county employees out there in dishes up to the waves with shovels working. And he crossed the bridge on over to Dixon County, he didn't see a soul over there working. I'm trying to alleviate the flooding on that side.
Well, I know.
He was complimenting Taylor County and its efforts. So my hat's off to you. Hank and the people that make all this happen.
Hank Hank and Scott were there all weekend. I checked. I drove to Steam Hatchie Sunday to check on them, and they were looking pretty tired. But they have been very committed, and the public works employees have been there around the clock because, you know, we have to watch these pumps. So they're all starting to look tired. But other than that,
we don't shut them down at dark. They run all night.
No, they run all night.
75 gallons of diesel per day each. And there's no FEMA reimbursement for any of the fuel or the maintenance or any of that.
Not unless there's a presidential declaration, which I doubt because I don't know that we'll have any effects of the storm. So, but in my, the way I look at it is if we have an employee who has to watch one pump, then we might as well have the employee watch three pumps, and then we hopefully will not incur as much overtime because that one, however many employees can watch all three pumps at the same time.
Right.
So that was the thought process, hoping to shorten up the amount of time that we spent pumping. So you're still going to have the funds that you spend for diesel, but then, and then the rental of the equipment, but I would say this is, I think we'll be better prepared if there's a next time, because we'll have one set of rail crossings on hand that we were planning to purchase from some public works funding that was not spent, and we'll have all the hose, and then we'll have the one pump.
Good. Appreciate all you do for us.
Is that something you're going to need to put on, because they're in informational items, put on the agenda at a later date about the purchase of this stuff you're talking about?
No, we've already purchased the hose, and the ramps are less than $6,000, and we have money in that department to purchase.
There will be another time. Spring Hatchie will flood again. That'll happen again. And I think that this is why we need to seriously start looking at long-term drainage issues there. How are we going to make the improvements? How are we going to fund it? If we can use recovery money, or what else is out there? But we have to be reactive, go ahead and seek to it instead of waiting for Steam Hatchie floods and go through that frustrating thing that we did this past weekend where you can't get stuff here starting last week. And that, you know, and I wonder, you were working with one company, is there just one company that has this kind of pumps and hoses and stuff? They're the only company?
Well, I don't know. That was the best solution at the time because they're in Tallahassee, but I even called some poor man who works for corporate Xylem, is who is manufactures the road crossing Saturday night, and he sent me right back to the company in Tallahassee. So I think the road crossings are actually the specialty items that we have such a hard time with.
Well, I would think that there would be somebody else in the Southeast that would have that kind of stuff, and it might be that you all would want to make a list of research.
Yes, I plan
ahead of time. Different companies have their contact information and just give them a call and say, in the event, how soon could we expect, and this and that and the other.
But I think having the rail crossings, because we got a price to purchase them used, so we basically are keeping one set of the rail crossings. Once we have those, now we have the hose, we have a pump, we can at least get started if in the event this happens again. I do believe we'll have an advantage because we'll have everything on hand that we need. And then it may be that we can use hazard mitigation funds to purchase some of these items. We have a meeting of the LMS group coming up next week, I believe, and we were going to discuss
possibly applying for a grant for a drainage study. I'm going to ask the question if we can purchase equipment that we can keep on hand just to, so we are not waiting days for things to be delivered. And then if they don't get here, and then all this involved in the legwork back and forth.
Yeah. Well, all of this is going to take probably a considerable amount of time to get this future plans worked out. In the meantime, it'll probably flood again, and we just need to make sure that if there are other companies that we can get in touch with them, and that they're going to be dependable to get us what we need. This was very, very frustrating for me. It had to be 100 times more than you. I do want to commend our staff, so I think our staff has done everything that they could do.
I agree.
And I commend them for the work that they've done. I want to ask y'all, did y'all, the Ridgeways, did y'all, during this period of time, did you know what the county was doing? Did you know our effort? How did you know?
By watching.
Okay.
By actually seeing the trucks and the people and the shovels and the backhoe and the pumps. It's common knowledge in the steam action.
Good. So you felt like that we were doing everything that we could?
I do. And okay. Some of the people with water still in their homes don't think that way. But that's normal.
Well, I mean, we were visible, it
right.
Sounds like.
We were very visible.
I don't see how anybody could conclude that we were not, you know, at least doing our very best.
I don't think that was what they were thinking. They were upset that their home
had water. I understand. Commissioner Pence.
I have three things. Striking on Wood Creek Road. You ever get any clarification on that? They said it was a bad wreck out there about 2 weeks ago. And is that our road or the city? Is part of that also?
It's the city department, not Strike.
Okay. But when a person gets killed or somebody on that road, we all feel it in our heart. So no longer than that is, maybe we can partner with them and help them out. Another one, I've been asked by the Gulf Coast Road, and he said that the sheriff is really doing a good job. If it's 55, and you, if it's 45, and you're running 55, he's giving you a ticket. So he asked me to bring up about 55 miles an hour on the Gulf Coast Road. So, damn it, he ain't looking too good at that.
No. Now, look at the mark on the road. You can tell what's going on.
All right. And I'm starting to get beat about the house road too. You know, they said, hey, we need some paving, and it's deteriorating every day.
Okay. I'll send you the information on that.
On the house road?
Yeah.
Okay.
On that's the program.
Oh. All right. Okay. Now get rid of it. That's it. You know, my heart goes out for you. I know. We've been working the last 3 or 4 weeks pretty tiresome. And when I went down to that Freshwater Fish Commission meeting, I can see how, you know, a little frustration can get started, especially if one might get miscalculated or miscued with his information. And it sort of get out of hand pretty quick. One thing I do like to you that I like about this meeting is Pam got directed to the board and not an individual. Mm-hmm. You know, so we don't take it personal. There's a lot of things we can't do and there's a lot of things we can do. Mm-hmm. And if we throw it out there and get the information out and everybody understand that, we'll get along. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'll tell you what, and when they beat up on you, it's not you they beat up on. All right, it's the job they're beating up on, and you doing okay. That's all I have.
Commissioner Murphy.
Well, we pretty much touched all the subjects that I want to relate to, but I do want to reiterate to the county employees, thank you. You have gone above and beyond. We see it. I see it. I was on the I was on the ground in St. Hatchie 7 days during that storm. 7 days. How many days out of seven did I see you down there? Six. At least. I seen you, but you may not have seen me, but I seen you. So thank you. And that goes to all the county employees. I mean, they have gone above and beyond. It was almost like a military operation down there, close to it. So we should be proud of our employees. Bless that happen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ma'am.
Anybody else?
I have one question for the morning. These guards that you need to purchase for the hoses, are they metal or what are they made of?
They're plastic. So it's two pieces. There's a connector in the
middle. Made out of plastic.
So it's a 6-inch. It has a 6-inch opening for the hose to pass through, and there are connectors in the crossing.
I have something metal. We got all kind of metal fabricators in this county can make anything.
And that's possible.
It's possible. Get them a picture or a pattern of it.
Mm-hmm. You would have to, I believe, have a DOT rating.
It does have to be rated for a certain amount of PSI.
That's what it costs to them then, on the engineer part of it.
Well, we got them now.
Okay, today I got a secondary road paving report. Thank you for that. The amount that's on there, that is the current amount. That's, and come October the 1st, they'll be. Do you have a prediction of how much more is going to be on each one? It's all divided up.
It is. I don't recall off the top of my head, but I'll check. And remember, next fiscal year, if we are able to obtain another inmate work squad, that will be charged directly to your secondary road paving funds for each district. But I'll check on the estimate for next year.
Okay. I want to thank the public for being here. I want to thank my fellow board members. We don't always agree, but that's just the way it goes. We get along very well. We work well together. And I just appreciate the board that we have. And it's a pleasure for me to work with you all. If there's nothing else, is there a motion to adjourn?
Move in, Jeremy.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Have a good evening.
Good job.
And now we've got supplement.